And now, from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting to Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, throughout the nine worlds and beyond, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. You are tuned to the immortal sounds of Radio Free Asgard.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to Radio Free Asgard. This is episode number 166. Coming at you, as always, from beautiful Chicago, Illinois. My name is Tom Harris. I'm your host. And this week, we are going to be continuing on with the Lee Kirby run. And don't really have a whole lot to talk about. Well, you know, I've been talking about, like, getting ready to go on vacation and all that stuff. And I don't know how interesting people really find that stuff. But my vacation is pretty much planned now. It's as planned as you can be when you're trying to account for things like weather and really don't know exactly what's going to be going on. So, you know, other than just a couple days at the end of the trip, which is sort of a pad in case of bad weather and that kind of thing, I'm pretty much done with my planning and pretty much getting ready to go here. So really, really looking forward. It is possible I may have some content for you while I'm gone, though I can't count on it. So, just keep in mind that I mentioned it. but if it doesn't happen, then don't be too disappointed. Anyway, so we do have an issue of Thor to cover, and not a whole lot of news going on. I mean, not really. Anyway, all right. So here we go with our review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard. Where the booming heavens roar, you'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, mighty Thor.
You got it. And we are covering this week The Mighty Thor, number 172. Has a cover date of January 1970, retailed for 15 cents. Cover art is by Jack Kirby and Bill Everett, showing Thor fighting against a big orange dude with green pants and gray hair. And in the foreground, we see this guy with his gray hair and his big, huge mustache, and he's kind of wearing a green bodysuit, kind of coverall sort of thing with a hood. And he's laying on top of this sort of Kirby machine-looking thing. Looks like he's asleep. And on the other side, it's sort of the two of them lying there. On the other side of this machine is Thor, who also appears to be asleep on this Kirby machine thing. And we have the title of the story, The Menace of the Mind Slave. And there's a picture of Jane Foster down here. And says, surprise, Jane Foster in this issue. Not a surprise, they announced it at the end of last issue. Opening up to the splash page, we have the story title here, The Immortal and the Mind Slave, featuring the return of Jane Foster. Ooh, yeah, looking forward to that. Written and drawn by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. Bill Everett was the embellisher, and Art Simek was the letterer. And the splash page shows Thor lurking outside of Dr. Blake's window because there's somebody hanging out inside. And we see, I guess he's not really a sinister character, kind of lurking around in Don Blake's office, evidently waiting for him. And Thor's outside the window, and he's thinking to himself, someone doth wait within the office of Dr. Blake, and the God of Thunder doth sense that he be sorely troubled. I must learn whether he be troubled in mind or in body, for these are the times of anguish and days of peril that be upon us. Now, that's not a Stan Lee line. I don't know what is. Days when the healing power of a Dr. Blake is needed as much as the strength of the mighty Thor. And whether warrior's hammer or physician's skill be needed, the son of Odin shall not be wanting. And during this whole little speech, Thor is clambering up to the roof in a series of really, really well-composed panels here. Thor climbing up, showing him how he does, you know, kind of clamber up there using his hammer as a grappling hook. And he gets on the roof and, of course, bangs his hammer on the ground. And he changes back into the lame Dr. Blake. And Thor says, with one enchanted blow, Dr. Donald Blake shall tend the afflicted once more. And Dr. Blake goes into the building and passes by a woman with a really weird hairdo and It looks like something off the cover of a fashion magazine from 1970, so I wouldn't be surprised if Kirby used a photo reference for that. And as he's walking to his office, he's thinking to himself, who could ever dream that the shy, lame physician and the God of Thunder are one and the same? Sometimes it's even hard for me to accept. And he gets to his office, and the guy is standing in there waiting for him. Dr. Blake, thank heavens you're here. I need your help desperately. I'm Dr. Jim North. I don't know if you remember me. Yes, doctor, I remember you, says Blake. You're the one my ex-nurse Jane Foster went to work for after she left my employ. And you got this look away here. It's very Jack Kirby romance comic take here. And Blake is thinking to himself, for Odin in his infinite wisdom brought them together to ease her pain at losing the love of Thor. What's the trouble, doctor? It's Jane. She's being held prisoner, with her life in danger. Jane, a prisoner? Where? How? Read this letter I received. It will explain everything. And he turns the letter over, and he sees this wax seal on the back of it. Blake is like, that seal? It's the imprint of Cronin Krask, the mysterious, ruthless billionaire who is guarded by his own private army. But what does this have to do with Jane? Now, I have a couple questions here about this, because, okay, it's just a red seal with a K. I mean, it could be anybody. It could be Kang. It could be, you know, Kraven the Hunter. It doesn't have to be this Cronin Krask dude. It's just a generic K. So it could be anybody. What has me a little bit more interested is that, so we're in Dr. Blake's office, and he's got this, like, I don't know, antique radio-looking thing standing in his office, and on top of it there's a bust of looks like the Phantom of the Opera or something. It's just grotesque, and it's like, why would Don Blake have something like that in his office anyway? Blake is reading the letter, and he says, it's Krask who's holding her prisoner. He claims her life will be forfeit unless you agree to perform a certain forbidden experiment for him. I love her, Blake. I can't let any harm come to her. Why come to me, doctor? Why not the police? He'd deny the whole thing. Call the note a phony. And then what would happen to Jane? I can't chance it. He's too dangerous. But you, Dr. Blake, you're the only man who knows how to contact Thor, the God of Thunder. I see. You may go now, Dr. North. I'll do what I can. And he's looking out the window, and there's lightning, and it looks like it's all cloudy, and, you know, Thor's obviously kind of angry now. And he's thinking to himself, Father Odin, look upon your son with favor once again. The time has come for the Thunder God to grasp mighty Mjolnir and gird himself for battle. And Odin actually hears it. You have a scene of Odin, and he's obviously up in Asgard. He's surrounded by this sort of pink Kirby crackle. Here's what Thor is thinking. He's like, a random thought doth reach the mind of the Liege of Asgard. I must probe the cosmos that I may see from whence it comes. And I guess they're up on the Hlidskjalf. Although, anyway, there's this. They're on top of the big mountain, and Odin's up there, and he's got a assistant of some kind up here, and the assistant has this weird Kirby device he's kind of waving over his head, and Odin's like,
Counselor, hold thee high the mystic enchanty scan, for I wouldst learn what doth transpire throughout the endless realms.
And he's looking at the various scenes here through the enchanty scan, which is just another version of the cosmic voyeuroscope, let's face it. And he sees Loki, and Loki's hanging out with some unsavory-looking dudes and making a speech or something. And
yonder is crafty Loki, scheming as ever to inflame the unthinking masses. 'Tis not the likes of him that I seek.
And they shift scenes again, and they're in a chamber in Carnilla's palace, and we see Carnilla, and we see Baldur, who is laying in a sick bed, and there's this old man who's kind of putting VapoRub on his chest and singing Soft Kitty or something. I'm not really sure.
Whilst the loyal Baldur doth recover from his battle wounds in the dark domain of Queen Carnilla, but elsewhere must I appear. But wait, what does this mine eyes behold?
And we get a real close-up of Odin's face here. And he's looking into this like big vortex of energy crackling around, and there's kind of a face in there, and it's like this big fat face with the big bristly mustache, and it kind of looks like the guy with the gray hair that we saw on the cover.
"'Tis a visage of a mortal, a human from the planet Earth. 'Tis he who soon shall menace the god of thunder, but the son of Odin shall prove equal to the task."
"But if he should not, my lord," says his helper.
"Then a father's tears shall flood the whole of Asgard."
And we shift scenes, and we have Dr. Nelson, or whatever his name is. He's driving to the home of Cronin Krask, and he's talking out loud here because, you know, people talk to themselves out loud while they're driving.
"Dr. Blake said I should go to the home of Cronin Krask. Meanwhile, he will attempt to contact the powerful Thor."
And he is pulling up to the mansion, and there's these guards there who are dressed like state troopers. They kind of have the gray uniform and the helmet. Kind of like, motorcycle cops is what they look like.
A car approaches.
"It is the doctor, just as Cronin Krask predicted.
None dare defy the will of the master."
"You may enter, Dr. North, but follow every order, obey every command that is given. For those who try to resist the will of Cronin Krask, the only end is death."
And they're kind of leaning in the car all threatening-like. And so Dr. North goes driving in, and he's thinking to himself,
"Everywhere I look, armed men with eyes devoid of mercy. His private army is even deadlier looking than I expected. But what if even Thor is unable to save Jane?"
"This way, Doctor. You are awaited by Cronin Krask."
And we see that he's got this really fancy mansion, and his guards all around. And there's like servants inside, and they're dressed like, 1700s. Kind of like, this is a well that Kirby kind of dipped back into in the 70s. When you have his return to Captain America, if you guys remember the Mad Bomb story, and you have this, Commander Hessian or whatever his name was. And they were all dressed like this, too. Dr. North is following the guy, and he's thinking,
"It isn't a home. It's an impregnable, heavily fortified castle."
And we get a full-page spread of a enormously fat guy wearing purple clothes, and he's got a red hair and a big red mustache. Yeah, so basically this is Volstagg here. It looks a lot like Volstagg, and I must say. And note the red hair, because it's gray on the cover, and it's not gray here. And there's a big, burly, butch-looking nurse in here. Actually looks like Thor in drag. she is holding on to Jane Foster's arms, and is kind of holding her. And Jane is there, and he's like,
Jim, go back! Run while you can! He's the most dangerous man alive!"
"Shall I silence the female, Mr. Krask?"
says this very butch nurse.
"Of course not, Brunhilda. There is no need. It is now too late for anything to alter the master plan of Cronin Krask. Step forward, Dr. North. We have much to discuss. With your help, Doctor, I am about to come immortal. And you will help me, of course, because of her."
And he kind of grabs Jane's chin, and Dr. North gets really angry, and he pulls a gun out of his suit jacket.
"Stand away from her, Krask. We're leaving here now, and you're coming with us as our hostage,"
which is really stupid because he's got two guards with rifles standing right behind him.
"Drop that toy, Doctor. Did you think I became one of the world's wealthiest men by being careless? Another foolhardy move like that, and Miss Foster will pay for it with her life."
"No, no."
"And now, to business. You are about to perform the first mind transplant in history."
"Impossible," says Dr. North. "Nobody can do that, except Dr. Wagnerstein."
"He captured Dr. Wagnerstein. He forced him to reveal the secrets of his experiment."
And she's trying to struggle to get away from this butch nurse, and the nurse has this really stern look on her face.
"Cronin Krask gets everything he goes after. And now, Dr. North, are you ready to begin? Or shall your Miss Foster pay the price?"
"Murderer! If any harm comes to that girl, I'll...
"You're helpless, Doctor, and you know it," says the butch nurse. And they have this, like, this big picture on the wall of Cronin Krask. It actually looked kind of dark-side-y, actually.
"You assisted Wagner Stein in the past, and tonight you will finally complete what he began. I have everything a man could want, wealth beyond measure, and limitless power. But even the richest, even the mightiest of men must die. But not Cronin Krask. I refuse to die. Therefore, Dr. North, you will perform the experiment that will grant me immortality."
"I must do as he says, Jane. I don't dare risk any harm befalling the girl I love."
But even if you succeed, he'll never let us leave here alive."
"It's a chance we'll have to take."
And of course, they're saying all this in front of the butch nurse, who, of course, is not going to tell her boss what they're talking about. And then we shift back to the city, and we see Dr. Blake, and he's standing on the roof of his office building or whatever. And again, the scale is not quite right. And we've seen this before in Kirby Cityscapes, especially when people are standing on a roof. The buildings come across as being really, really narrow and really, really small. So Don Blake is standing on top of the building, and it looks like he's taking up, you know, half the width of this whole building. The scale is really kind of screwy. Blake is saying out loud, "If Jane Foster is in danger, I must go to her. I cannot fail the girl whom I once loved. But more than a surgeon's skill is needed now." And he bangs his stick on the ground, and he changes into Thor.
"And whatever shall be needed, Thor shall not be wanting. Chanted Mjolnir, mighty hammer, I call upon thy power to bring me to the place where dwelleth the mortal Krask."
And he takes off flying, and he's heading off to Krask's palace or mansion or whatever you want to call it.
"Now shall Thor learn what doth transpire."
And one of the guards sees Thor coming, and he gets on the radio. He's like,
"Attention all checkpoints. Thor has just arrived, exactly as the master expected. Proceed with Operation Disable as planned."
Yeah, because that's a really imaginative name for plan. Operation Disable.
"He's landing now. We'll get him in the spotlight square. Target in sight. Commence firing."
And there's like this big old cannon ray thing. They're trying to blast it at Thor. And Thor's dodging it. And he's like,
"They seek to slay me through the use of heavy cannon. But no helpless target is the God of Thunder."
And he whips Mjolnir at the cannon, smashes it to little pieces. Beautiful page here. This is a page I would love to own.
"What their eyes cannot see, their weapon shall not strike."
"His hammer, it smashed our battery of lights." "Look out, it's ricocheting back again."
And they all fall to the ground as Mjolnir whizzes over their head.
"Mjolnir, to thy master." And he catches Mjolnir with a thop. "Run, thou most ignoble mercenaries. The son of Odin orders thee begone. And whilst thou flee, one blow shall hasten thee upon thy way."
And Thor does the smash the ground thing, and he smashes the ground with Mjolnir. There's a big, like, shock of lightning coming out of the ground, and everybody goes flying. And another really, really well-drawn page here.
"But soft, what new bedevilment is this? A strange device now riseth from the ground."
And yeah, it's a piece of fancy Kirby tech. And like a lot of these fancy Kirby machines, there's no real indication of what this thing could possibly be. And the guards are kind of hiding beyond the corner of the building and saying to themselves,
"The master paid millions for that gadget. It better work.
It cannot fail. Just push the button."
And they push the button, and there's this purple Kirby crackle like fog kind of going around Thor.
"By the golden gates of Asgard, a hallucinogenic mist doth now assail the mind of Thor. Never hath my brain known such shattering sensation. Reality doth fade away as shadows overcome me."
And so basically Thor's having a very intense acid trip, dude. So wow. Thor's tripping, man. And we then shift scenes, and we're in a hospital-type room operating theater. It looks amazingly like the one that Don Blake was using last issue to operate on that Lopez dude. And so Jane Foster's in there, and Dr. North, and a bunch of armed guards. And the armed guards are coming to collect Jane Foster and the doctor, and it's like,
"All is ready. The master awaits you."
John, you can't. You mustn't. If Krask's brain takes the body of a younger man, then that man will end up in Krask's body, a body which has only a short time to live.
Krask is probably paying a man a fortune to allow the transfer. Anyway, with you as hostage, what choice have I?
And they go into the operating room, and Krask, who apparently has shed a great deal of weight in the last few pages, because now he looks just like a larger, normal guy. He doesn't look like this really fat Volstagian character that he was earlier. Either that, or they've got him in some kind of hyper Shatner girdle of some kind. Dr. North is warning him, "You realize the danger, Krask? This has never been done before."
"You will succeed, for you know if I die, the girl dies. But if I survive, I will live like a god. I will live forever."
"Who's the subject? Whose body lies under the sheet?"
And Jane Foster pulls the sheet off, and Krask is talking.
"Haven't you guessed yet? I knew Dr. North would remember that you had once been friendly with Thor. I gambled on the fact that he'd contact him for help, and that Thor would come here, while my men could capture him."
"It is him. It's the God of Thunder." "Thor! Oh, no! No! You can't do it, John, no matter what happens to us. You can't let Krask put his own brain in the body of Thor."
"She's right. No matter what you do to me, I won't go through with it. Shoot me now. Go ahead. It'll be better this way." "The girl, Doctor. Look at the girl. It isn't you we'll kill. It's her. We'll allow you to live. You'll live with the knowledge that she died because of your decision. Now, Doctor, do you still refuse?"
"I can't. I can't let Jane die. Not even to save the Thunder God. Forgive me for what I must do."
"John, my darling, you can't. Think what you're doing."
"I am thinking, Jane. I am. In the name of heaven, take her away. Oh, take her away."
"Love, it makes weaklings of you all. That is why I have always been triumphant. Cronin Krask feels love for no one."
And they put this weird gadget thing on his head, and Dr. North pushes the button with a clack, and he's like, "I've done it. Now there can be no turning back." Their Kirby device, and it looks like it's shooting energy in a big arc and a meeting in the middle, and there's this big burst of Kirby crackle here in the middle. Very, very dynamic panel here. And I guess this is the ultra oscilloscope.
"There, on the ultra oscilloscope, the brainwaves of Thor and Krask beginning to collide. The next few seconds will determine their fate forever. The instruments are growing wild. The strain on their bodies is unimaginable."
"Look, up there. The electrowaves are taking form."
"We're witnessing something no human eyes have ever seen before. Their actual egos are battling for supremacy."
And the Kirby crackle is taking shape, and you have Thor's yellow mind waves are, you know, taking the shape of Thor. And we've got Krask's blue mind waves taking the form of, you know, Volstagg slash Krask. And they're kind of tussling in their energy forms.
"So powerful is the onslaught that it's visible to the human eye. And now the figures are beginning to merge. One has become victorious. It's engulfing the other.
But which one is it? Which?"
And we hear Krask shouting out, "Arrgh!"
"Look at Krask. He's screaming like a soul in torment. He's lurching forward, tearing himself loose from the supporting straps. He's falling! Falling!"
And he must be pretty strong because he bursts right through this machine, this big metal machine here, and falls flat on his face.
"It's over. Cronin Krask is dead."
"And the Thunder God doth live," says Thor.
And Thor has gotten up from the table and is standing there.
"I'm a doctor," says Dr. North. "I knew you weren't really in a coma. I could tell you were feigning unconsciousness. Why did you go through with it? Why did you take the chance?"
"It was a challenge," says Thor. "A challenge no warrior couldst ignore. Vainglorious villain, did he think to triumph over an immortal?"
"Had anything gone wrong, you might have died because of us."
"Reproach not thyself. I say thee, thou art blameless. Thou didst act for love, and verily there be no higher cause."
"Krask's men have fled."
"Aye, when the lion falls, the jackals soon depart. One thing more thou shalt do. Destroy yon equipment. Power such as that is not yet meant for man. And so farewell. Thou hast each other.
No more is needed. Next issue, the unmentionable Ulick. And if he's unmentionable, why did they mention him? And that is Thor, number 172. So, of course, I have a few comments about this, and we will get to them right after this important message.
Hey, Kids Comics!
Hey, Michael!
Yeah?
We need to do a new promo.
A new one?
A new one.
Why?
Because we've moved.
Moved?
Moved. We've moved to a new place. We still read comics.
We do. We still talk about comics.
Because you can't do a comic book podcast unless you read and talk about comics, because that's kind of stupid. But now, we have a new episode still available every Thursday, but at twotruefreaks.libsyn.com.
Hey Kids Comics!
So remember, Hey Kids Comics has moved to twotruefreaks.libsyn.com. Still, every Thursday. That'll do, won't it?
All right, and we are back. So, of course, we have a few comments, as always, about this issue. Actually, I like this issue. It's pretty good. Now, the story is nothing particularly special. It's definitely a story we've seen before, and not necessarily in the Thor series, though I think we actually have seen this plot before in the Thor series, of somebody wanting to take over Thor's body, and he takes Jane Foster hostage, blah, blah, blah. It's pretty much a by-the-numbers plot. But it's a pretty well-told story. I mean, they're trying to establish this character of Dr. North, okay, and they're saying, okay, here's Jane, she's still okay. We have her appearing for the Jane Foster fans out there. Are there Jane Foster fans? I hope not. You definitely have this weird character. This character of Cronin Krask, I mean, they could have made him a bit less Volstagg-like. And I like the cover image of Krask a little bit better than this, you know, the giant red-haired fat guy that they show inside the issue. Why did they make him look so much like Volstagg? I don't know. Like I said, I think I would have been happier had he had gray hair and been a little bit less Volstagg-like. Story, very much a Stan Lee kind of plot. It's not definitely not a Jack Kirby plot. There's a little bit too much to it. Some of the dialogue is kind of Kirby-ish. We have some Cronin Krask dialogue on page 10 that really, to me, feels like a New Gods type of dialogue. But definitely in this issue, we get Stan Lee's voice a lot more than we did last issue. So we definitely have a lot more input. This is one of those really, I think, really good issues as far as the artwork matching up with the dialogue. And I think that my friends over at Fantasticast have mentioned this in some of the later Lee Kirby stuff, because they're covering roughly that same era right now on their show. And they point out that quite often the dialogue doesn't really match what's going on in the art. But that's certainly not the case here. This is a really coherent issue. And of the types of story that have this same kind of general plot, I would say that this is one of the better ones. I mean, it's not a great idea for a plot anyway, but it certainly could be done much, much worse than it is here. Can't really fault the artwork here. This is really good Kirby artwork, inked by Bill Everett. Again, I don't know if I like him more than Coletta, but he's definitely different from Coletta. And in some ways, it seems like he's trying to bring a similar vibe to it. One of the things that I know I've talked about before is the very fine line work Vince Coletta would put into his inks. And we can see something similar going on here with Bill Everett, though it's not really quite the same. It's little fine lines in a different way than Coletta did. Again, I don't know that Bill Everett is the best inker for Jack Kirby. I was thinking, Chick Stone is still, I think, by far my favorite of the Silver Age Jack Kirby inkers. And of course, you have some good ones later on when Kirby's at DC and people like Mike Royer, who I think do a really good job with Kirby's pencils. All right, so that is about it for this week. Once again, folks, thanks very much for listening. Now, of course, you can email the show, and if you feel you want to do that, you can email us at radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. All emails are read on the show. And, of course, we have a Facebook group as well. So look for us on Facebook, Radio Free Asgard, and you will find us. And with that, I am going to prance back across the Rainbow Bridge, slide down the Rainbow Bridge back to Earth, and we'll see you next week here on Radio Free Asgard. You have been listening to Radio Free Asgard, a production of Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor and all associated characters are mostly copyright Marvel Comics. The stories presented are done so for educational, review, and entertainment purposes only. No ownership is implied. The silly voices, however, well, they're all me. Musical selections from Eden, the Invincible Sword of the Elfsmith, are copyright Mots Vent and are used with permission. If you like what you've heard on the show, we hope you'll leave us a review on iTunes, tell your friends, or even join our Facebook group. We really love hearing from our listeners, and we appreciate all of your support. Thanks once again very much for listening to Radio Free Asgard.